Turn once again for our scripture reading to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Begin reading at verse 10 and read to the end of the chapter. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Text for our sermon tonight is found in verses 19 and 20. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we come tonight to the end of our series through the book of Ephesians. We do so by considering a somewhat unique passage, a passage that we might not always think about or consider, a passage that exhorts us to pray regularly for our ministers. The minister himself is called by God to be a man of prayer. As he studies the Word of God throughout the week and prepares to proclaim the gospel, he must be praying regularly for the Spirit to give him understanding and enlightenment. And he must be praying regularly also for the members of the congregation under his care. The form for the installation of ministers emphasizes that an important part of their ministry is praying for the congregation. But not only is it the case that the minister must be praying for the congregation, it's also the case that the congregation must be praying for her minister. The importance of that is indicated by the repetition of that command throughout the New Testament. We won't take the time tonight to look at these passages, but if you'd go to passages like Romans 15 and Colossians 4, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 2 Thessalonians 3, you'll see the same exhortation repeated there. Paul exhorting the congregations to pray for the ministers. Every faithful minister of the word knows the importance of the prayers of the members of the congregation. There was once a very well-known preacher who was asked this question: what is the secret or the strength behind your ministry? His answer was this: my people pray for me. That's the strength of the ministry of every faithful ambassador of the gospel, that the congregation prays for him. The importance of the church of Christ doing that comes out from the context here in Ephesians 6. In this last section of the book of Ephesians, the Holy Spirit brings us to the battlefield, describes our life as soldiers in the army of Christ, and our calling to take the armor of God and to fight daily against our threefold enemy. As we considered last time from verse 18, an essential activity in that spiritual warfare is prayer. The way in which we fight is from our knees in prayer to God. As we considered from verse 18, it's important that we're praying not only for ourselves, making supplication for all saints. That supplication for all saints includes supplication for our ministers. Our ministers need those prayers because, from a certain point of view, they're leaders in that spiritual battle. They stand on the front line, as it were, in the battle of faith. But our ministers need those prayers as well because it's through the word that they bring that every one of us is strengthened for that battle. They proclaim the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit in our spiritual conflict. It's that chief means of grace by which all of the members of the army of Christ strengthen daily to fight the battle of faith. Absolutely necessary, therefore, that we pray regularly for our ministers of the gospel. Let's consider this text tonight, taking as our theme a pastor's plea for prayer. Notice first of all the request made, secondly the need expressed, and then thirdly the benefit enjoyed. The Apostle Paul exhorts the Ephesian Christians here to be praying for him with respect to his office as an apostle and a minister of the gospel. In the passage, he describes what is the office of the minister. There are two things especially that come out there. First of all, the office of a minister is that of an ambassador. Verse 20, Paul says, "For which I am an ambassador in bonds." An ambassador is a representative and spokesman of his country, quite often sent to another country to deal with them and speak to them on behalf of the nation. And he's entrusted with authority from the king or the president or the government in power to speak for the country, so that when he speaks with the authority of the government. He speaks on behalf of king and country. Minister of the gospel is an ambassador of Christ. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us." Ministers are called to that office in which they represent Christ. And they're called to proclaim the word of Christ on behalf of Christ to his people, so that as Paul says there in 2 Corinthians 5, it's as if God is beseeching us through the ministers of the Word. As ambassadors, minister of the gospel has a word for unbelievers, and that word of God is repent. Especially the ambassador of Christ is called to speak words of comfort, the good news of the gospel, his chosen beloved church. It means that the calling of a minister is a great privilege to stand as an ambassador of Christ. It also means that that calling is an extremely weighty responsibility. Second thing that the text mentions about the minister of the gospel is that he's called to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. Verse 19, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Noticed as we've gone through the book of Ephesians, the number of references to the idea of a mystery. Just one example, back in chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. As that passage spells out, a mystery is not some strange puzzle or some unsolved riddle, but a mystery is something that in the Old Testament was largely hid from the people of God, but now, with the dawning of the New Testament, has been revealed fully and clearly to the church of Jesus Christ. This mystery is the mystery of the gospel, the good news of our salvation in Jesus Christ. Now that was revealed in part in the Old Testament, but it was hidden to a certain degree under all of the types and the shadows. They could see dimly that Christ was coming. But that mystery of the gospel of our salvation was fully revealed in the coming of Jesus Christ and his suffering and death and resurrection. The mystery of the gospel is also that the chosen church of Jesus Christ includes both Jews and Gentiles. Again, there were indications of that in the Old Testament, but largely they lived in the understanding that God's people were Jews. The dawning of the New Testament, and especially the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, God revealed clearly the chosen church of Christ includes both Jews and Gentiles. And it's the privilege of the ambassador of Christ to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. He has the privilege of making known to the chosen people of God the good news of their salvation, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Again, that means that the calling of an ambassador of Christ is a great privilege. Being charged with caring for and proclaiming that message means that that calling is also a weighty responsibility. It's necessary, therefore, for us to pray for our ministers. We're exhorted in the text to pray for our own minister, and to pray for all other faithful ministers of the gospel in our own denomination and our own sister churches. It includes praying regularly for our missionaries. Three men whom God has called to serve us on the field in the Philippines, our domestic missionary. It includes praying for our seminary professors who are ministers of the gospel, training other men to be ministers of the gospel. And by extension, it means praying for our seminary students, that God would equip and qualify them and strengthen them to serve as faithful ambassadors of Christ. It even means by implication that we're to be praying for our elders. These men themselves don't proclaim the gospel, but they have the calling from God to oversee that preaching and to ensure that there's faithful proclamation of the word in the church. Regularly, to be praying for these men whom God has called to serve His church. And it's good for us to pray broadly and generally for these men. But there are certain specific things that we have to pray for as well. And our passage mentions two specific petitions that we're to make to God on behalf of our ministers. First of all, we're to be praying for them that God would give them His word to proclaim. The first part of verse 19 says, "Pray for me that utterance may be given unto me." Literally, it says, "Pray for me that a word," or "the word," "may be given to me as I open my mouth." We're praying that God would make known His word to the minister so that the minister can faithfully proclaim the gospel. And we understand that doesn't mean we're praying that the minister just sit around and wait for some divine revelation to strike him. That God would send some message down from heaven and without any study or preparation, he know then what to say off the pulpit on Sunday. We're praying that God would give a word to the minister as he works hard and studies throughout the week, that through his study he might come to understand what is the main idea of this passage on which he's going to preach. What's the message of the gospel there? How does this particular word of God proclaim the good news of our salvation? How does it reveal Christ to us? We're praying that he would understand that word clearly in light of the whole of the word of God and all of the reformed truths so that he can set forth the truth clearly. Our prayer for the minister includes that he would be able to set that word of God forth in a clear and logical way. It doesn't do the church any good if the minister in his own mind understands what this word of God means and he can work it out in his own mind. But then when he comes to stand before the people of God, he's all over the place. He's not able to clearly and logically set that forth so that there's confusion in the minds of God's people. There may even be contradictions, and they walk out of church with all kinds of questions still in their mind. It's important not only that the minister understand it clearly, but he have the ability to set it forth to God's people clearly. We're praying for him as well, that he'd be able to speak that word in an effective and forceful way. Praying for our ministers that God would give them an utterance does not mean praying that they would be the most gifted public speaker and a golden-tongued orator. It's not necessary to be a minister of the gospel, but it is necessary that they be able, in a clear and effective and forceful way, to proclaim the good news of the gospel. Possible for a minister to say everything that's true, and even to set the truth of the gospel forth clearly, but to do so in a cold, indifferent way, one that reveals a kind of distance and almost indifference to the word of God. It seems as if it hardly means anything to him. Word of God is not proclaimed effectively then to the edification of the church. It's not the most important thing, but it is important that pray for the minister in that regard too, understanding the word clearly, being able to set it forth clearly, and then to proclaim it and deliver it in a clear, effective, forceful way. Beloved, pray for us ministers of the gospel in that regard. Pray for us that utterance may be given to us. Pray for us as we study the Word of God that we might come to see the truths of the Word of God clearly. We might be able to see in that passage the good news of the gospel of our Savior. Pray for us that we might be able to set that forth clearly and logically and without confusion. Pray for us. We might be able to deliver that word in a clear, effective, and forceful way. That's the first thing that we're told specifically to pray for our ministers, that an utterance may be given to them. The second important thing that we're taught to pray here is that they might do so boldly. Verse 19, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Verse 20, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. To speak boldly means literally to speak freely, without any hindrance, without any fear. To set forth the good news of the gospel as a faithful ambassador, without leaving anything out or covering anything up, set it forth in all of its truth and beauty and power. It's the opposite of proclaiming the word with fear and with compromise. It's possible that a man lives in the fear of men. He's afraid of what they might say to him or about him. He's afraid to speak a certain word of God because it may be difficult to hear, and he's tempted to try and soften the hard edges of the word of God. Afraid to speak to this certain issue because it might step on this person's toes. Or to speak about this issue because this family might be offended or hurt by that or be mad at him for doing that. He may be tempted to labor with a desire for the favor of men. He wants everyone to like him. He wants to be popular. He wants to be well thought of, and so he doesn't want to do anything or say anything. He might step on someone's toes or make them upset with him. And so he compromises on the truth of God's word, or he holds certain things back and doesn't boldly and freely proclaim the whole counsel of God. It's unfaithfulness as an ambassador of Christ. Ambassador is called to speak the word of Christ, to speak it freely and boldly and without compromise. It's necessary that we pray for our ministers in that regard as well. It's a powerful encouragement to us ministers when, for example, standing together with the council before the worship service, and one of the elders or one of the deacons prays, God give Reverend Inglesma or whatever other minister is preaching the strength to preach without the fear of men or without seeking their favor. Give him the strength to preach boldly the truth of God's word. Ministers of the gospel need those prayers. Pray for us ministers that we might be kept from fear, seeking the favor of men. Pray for us as faithful ambassadors of the gospel. We might proclaim the word of God boldly as we ought to speak. we ministers need those prayers. The Apostle Paul indicates the need of the minister for those prayers when he asks the saints in Ephesus to pray for him. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he does not say here, "Beloved Christians, pray for ministers," but he says, "Beloved, pray for me." The request is personal because it arises out of a deep sense of his own need for those prayers. Ministers need those prayers because of the importance and the weight of the office to which they're called. Consider again that word ambassador. The work of an ambassador is a lofty responsibility to speak on behalf of king and country, to represent that nation in perhaps peace treaties with another nation. It's a lofty responsibility, but how much weightier and loftier is the responsibility of an ambassador of Christ? We ministers have been entrusted with the good news of the gospel, which is the power of God to the salvation of his people. We're entrusted to speak on behalf of Christ to his beloved bride. We're dealing with the souls, precious sheep of the shepherd. What weightier responsibility can there be? And the minister of the gospel doesn't have the calling to proclaim that word just once in a while, but twice every week. Every week to produce exegetically faithful, doctrinally sound, logically clear, God glorifying, Christ exalting, fresh, applicable sermons to the edification of the church of Christ. And then to proclaim the gospel to the children and the young people in catechism, and to bring the gospel to those who are mourning and suffering and struggling. The work is important, it's weighty. For that reason, we ministers of the gospel need prayers of the congregation. We need those prayers also because of our own weakness. We ministers are flesh and blood men, limited in gifts, limited in energy and strength, limited in wisdom, and sinners besides, no better, no different than every other member of the Church of Jesus Christ. And in ourselves, we're unable rightly to divide the word of truth and faithfully to proclaim the good news of the gospel. We're entirely dependent upon the guidance and the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit to do that work faithfully. There's the weakness of our own fear and our own cowardice. Boldness is not some inherent trait that a man has that either you're born with or you're not born with and you really don't have a say in the matter. No man is born naturally with boldness. Boldness is a spiritual grace and strength. By nature, all men, all ministers included, are cowards. Tempted to live out of the fear of men, afraid of what others might say to us or about us, afraid to bring a hard word of God at the appropriate time, knowing that that word may well step on someone's toes. It's a powerful temptation to hold back. And there's a powerful temptation to live with a desire for the favor of men. Simply to proclaim the word of God so that others think that you're popular or a good minister, think highly of you, and never want to say anything that would ruffle people's feathers. It's a strong fear of men that we ministers are tempted by. We need prayers of the church on our behalf. Humbly, we have to acknowledge that. We might think that the Apostle Paul was always so strong in his faith and strong in his work that he never had those fears or those doubts or temptations. The reality is the Apostle did, and that's why over and over again he says, "Pray for me." That's why he says back in chapter 3, verse 8, about himself, "who am less than the least of all saints." Humbly, he acknowledged his need for the prayers of God's people. We ministers of the gospel today must labor in the same humility. Woe to us ministers of the gospel if we labor in pride and arrogance. Woe to us ministers of the gospel if we think that in our own strength we're able to proclaim faithfully the word of truth. Woe to us ministers if we think we can go on in this work without the prayers of the church of Christ. We need these prayers. Because we're ambassadors and not the king. We're servants, we're heralds, we're ambassadors of the king, but we're not the king ourselves. We're not the Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, Christ is pleased to use the word that we bring to work in and through us weak vessels to gather and defend and preserve His church. But we ministers are not the saviors of the church. The work of the church and the well-being of the church is not dependent upon us. We're simply servants and ambassadors of the King and Head of the church, who alone is the Savior of His church. It's for that reason that we need the prayers of the church. It's important for us ministers to remember that. It guards us from pride. Remembering that we're not Christ and we're not the saviors of the church and we need the prayers of God's people. It also keeps us from despair and discouragement. Everything does not depend upon us. Our calling is not to be successful, but to be faithful. It's important for the church to remember that as well. It's important to remember that so that if she has a minister with many gifts, that she doesn't lift him up on a pedestal and idolize him and look to him as the Savior. It also helps her deal patiently with a man who maybe doesn't have all the gifts that other men do. Still works hard. Her attitude in response to that man then is not to be dissatisfied and angry, but to remember he's just a servant, he's an ambassador. It's a flesh and blood man that needs our prayers. God is pleased in His grace to answer the prayers of the church on behalf of her ministers. But the benefit is not just for the minister himself, who's encouraged and supported in the work, but the benefit is enjoyed by the whole congregation. And that's really the goal here with these prayers. It's not just for the man himself, but it's ultimately for the church. Paul isn't being selfish here and saying, "Pray for me, because everything revolves around me and I want the focus to be on me." But he says, "Pray for me so that I can faithfully bring the Word of God, so that the church is edified and strengthened. He has the church in view here. We see that really from the context of the whole book of Ephesians. The theme of this book is the church is the glorious body of Christ. The focus is on the church. And Paul's care for the church is evident here in chapter 6, verses 21 and 22. It says he's going to send Tychicus to tell them about what's going on. And at the end of verse 22, the purpose is expressed is that he might comfort your hearts. Paul's concern is for the church. The church isn't praying regularly for her minister. She can't expect then to be fed and strengthened through the word that he brings. They might have the most gifted minister, a man with a head for theology and a golden-tongued orator. But if the church isn't praying for that man, the word of God that he proclaims will not be effective among them. In a sense, it's the church that makes the minister. They might have a minister who doesn't have very many gifts. And yet with the congregation praying for him, he's supported and encouraged, and God is pleased to work in and through that man. Edify, feed his church. And that ultimately, the glory of God. Purpose is the edification of the church, that she might be strengthened in her spiritual warfare, that she might receive strength from God through that primary means of grace, but ultimately the goal is for the glory of God. As the word of God goes forth faithfully and boldly, and as the church is fed and built up through that preaching, God is glorified in his church. Beloved, pray for us ministers. Continue to do so. The word for prayer that's used there is in the present tense, meaning this is something that has to be ongoing throughout our earthly pilgrimage. Constantly, we ministers need those prayers. We need those prayers on Sunday. We need those prayers throughout the week. Pray for us that we might, given by God, a word to speak to the edification of the church. Pray for us that we might do so with boldness and without fear of men. Pray for us ministers of the gospel. Pray for our missionaries. Beloved, pray for me. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we're thankful for the ministry of thy word. Thankful that thou art pleased in thy infinite wisdom to send forth thy word through weak, sinful men. By that word to gather and defend and preserve thy church. Bless the ministry of the word in our own congregation. Feed us. Strengthen us from week to week for our spiritual battles. Glorify thyself. May all of the glory in this church, in the preaching of the word, be unto thee. We're thankful, Father, for thy goodness to us. Continue richly to bless us. Strengthen us to go forward in this coming week in lives of gratitude lived in obedience unto thee. Forgive us of our sins. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.